different, like all Brazil, you know, is different a lot. We have a German culture. Maybe you said about Germans.
So like I said, our city where we live right now, São Leopoldo, it's called the cradle of the German immigration. So they first got there in 1856, I think. They started in our city and then kept spreading out throughout the state. So it really is fun for someone who grew up in the rest of Brazil where you just have normal Portuguese names to all of a sudden be around people with last names like Schneider and Mueller and Bueller and Stein, and we've got them all down there. So it's just really fun. It's a difference. And so you can you see just a lot of the German architecture. A lot of cities have Oktoberfest, and they have, like, just these get-togethers of the people in their own neighborhoods to, you know, just commemorate their German heritage. So that's just something really fun to see in our area. We also have Italian culture. They came a little bit after the Germans, about the 1880s. And so if you go up about an hour and a half from our home, you'll see the place up in the mountains really heavily populated by the Italians. And again, you'll see all those fun last names like Volpi and Lazzaretti. And what are some others?
Nicola.
Oh, yeah. So it's just fun. So they eat a lot of pasta where we live, a lot of pizza. There's a lot of vineyards. And so any grape juice or wine that you buy in all the rest of Brazil comes from our state. And so they actually have the Valley of the Vineyards, and it looks just like Italy up there. That's about 2 hours from our home. It really is beautiful.
It's a Europe descendants.
Yeah, European descendants.
Yes, and people is so close, so different, like another part
of
Brazil.
Yeah, different from the rest of Brazil, where in the rest of Brazil, it's much more easy for you to just talk with people, to befriend them, get to know them. And in Rio Grande do Sul, because of this European descent, specifically, you know, the Germans, it's a lot more difficult to befriend them, to start to get to know them. And because it's a border state, and so the people there, they grew up defending their borders. And so they're just very standoffish. And so you don't just become friends with someone immediately.
When I grew up in Northeast Brazil, if I talk for one person, "Hi, my name is Fabio. Oh, Fabio, come into my home. Let's eat something." You know, the doors open so easy for you preach the gospel. But in South Brazil, it's not. It's so hard. It's not assim, né?
Yeah, it's much more difficult. And so, besides the German culture and the Italian culture, which you see very predominantly throughout the whole state, there's the Gaúcho culture itself, which goes back farther than them. This is the mix of the Portuguese and the Spanish, so there was a lot of crossover there with Uruguay and Argentina. Yeah, so we're wearing some of the traditional Gaúcho clothing, and Gaúchos are extremely proud of being Gaúchos. They'll say, first Gaúcho, then Brazilian. And so they actually learned the state's history. They are the one state that actually tried to leave Brazil. They had like a tiny civil war where they tried to be their own country, and that didn't work. They lost it. But they still celebrate that war every year in September. They have a whole week where they celebrate this war that they lost. but it gave them their identity. And so they're extremely proud of being Gauchos. And so kids will go to school dressed in the clothing, and they'll learn the state's anthem. They're the only state in Brazil where the kids actually know how to sing the state anthem. So I'm going to explain a little bit about the traditional drink in the state. It's called chimarrão. If you've ever been to Argentina or Uruguay, they call it mate, but it's the same drink. Yeah, we've got some Argentine. There's somebody. We met someone from Argentina today. Yes, all right. So chimarrão, it's the tea leaves put inside this gourd, and the straw has a filter at the bottom. You pour hot water over the leaves, and then, you know, the person who starts it drinks it until it slurps, and then you add more hot water and pass it to the next person.
Same straw.
People
said the warm killed the germs.
Hot water
killed the germs. We hope so.
Anyway, we always joke that you have to drink a lot of chimarrão to become friends with people. And isn't that true anywhere? Anywhere you go, they have different foods, they have different drinks, different things. And the more that you can participate in things that are from their culture, the easier it is to become friends with them. And so there's just a little a little jica, what do you call it, jica? A little hint for you guys with kids. Teach your kids to eat everything and try everything because that will make them a good missionary. I'm so thankful my parents made us do that and my mom made different, you know, kinds of food at home all the time because I learned to like everything and we drink chimarrão very happily in South Brazil. And part of the Gaúcho culture is also eating meat. There's the big cattle farms down there. And so if you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse here in the States, those are becoming more popular. They're pretty expensive here. Come down to see us. It's cheaper. But that's from our state. Okay, so the owner of any of those Brazilian steakhouses called churrascarias or the main asador, the main meat man, they'll be from our state. They'll be gaúchos. And it's delicious. So just a little bit of the gaúcho culture there. So this is the area that we're in, close to the capital city of Porto Alegre. We're about 40 minutes from Porto Alegre, so a metropolitan area. Our city, São Leopoldo, that we're in right now, so the three other cities there is where Fabio has worked since 2008, where we've been involved in three other church plants, not just us, with a team of missionaries. Everything goes a lot faster when you can work with other people. Praise the Lord. And so, São Leopoldo, there's 230,000 people, but again, all the cities around us, Novo Hamburgo, New Hamburg is the city right next to us, there's 250,000 people.
É trabalho diferente, porque nós temos ali, nos outros trabalhos que nós fizemos, tinha sempre gaúcho que fazia a conexão.
Yeah, it's a different work than the other three church plants that we began. There were already gaúcho believers living in those cities who wanted a church in their city. And so we had a base to start with. You know, people who had been participating in another church, but they had to drive half hour, and they wanted a church. So, like, the Bible studies began in their garages, in their homes. You already had people who were saved contributing financially. And so those works got started faster than where we are now, where we took over a work started by another missionary, and there were no believers. So it's been a tougher situation than the other three that we've been involved in. But exciting things are starting to happen in São Leopoldo. This is a university city. There's a large private university with about 25,000 students. And when I said private university, there are public universities that are free in Brazil. As a private university, you end up getting the rich people's kids. So, just a little bit of what we have in our city there.
It's a part of our group. I have a believers and unbelievers too. We work in today. One more. Thank you. Teaching God's word, disciple the believers, and evangelize the lost. And we show every fase, né?
Yeah, a little bit about each of these things that we're involved in now in the Lagos Baptist Church. Sometimes we're not sure if we call us like Lagos Baptist Church or a church plant. We are a church plant. But back before the pandemic, we had a large group of people and we were already training them and we were ready to take that next step to organize a membership. And so we did the church logo and everything. And then the pandemic hit and we lost different people from one year to another, like 9 people moved away. And so we're still like church plant phase, but we already had the name. So we're a church plant with a church name already. so a little bit of what we do there to teach God's word. So we've held Sunday worship services ever since we've been there. And for the last, it'll be 3 years in June, they've been in our home, in our living room and dining room. Because during the pandemic, we had to be almost a year with online meetings because of the size of the rental space that we had, and the city wouldn't let anyone meet with over 10% of capacity. And so the Bible studies have been in our home because there was just more space. We have, you know, bedrooms where we can take the kids for a kids class, and so we felt that was just better than the rental place that we had. So just a few pictures. Sometimes being a missionary means spending all Sunday cleaning your house to have people over. So it's not super ideal, but it's what the Lord has given us for now. So we praise the Lord that the numbers have been growing. You're never quite sure as you're getting ready for a Sunday night service if you're going to have 3 people or 20. You just don't know. You don't know if there's going to be kids other than your own or not. You know, I'm the one who teaches the kids. The last year was just really encouraging because we had more people, and there's always unbelievers present.
If all contacts coming, we don't have space.
If everybody that we know who has been to a service or other, if they all come, it's really tight, and we'll run out of space. We want this problem. So we joke that if everybody who's our evangelistic, you know, contacts, if they would all get saved, we'd have a church boom like that. Wouldn't that be great? So pray for that to happen. So I teach the kids and just all the ages together because we don't have enough people to divide into classes. That was in an upstairs bedroom, the last picture. Here's in the garage. And I was mentioning to Pastor last night, for a long time we just didn't have that many kids. It was just ours. And then because of a kids' Bible club we started last year, the neighborhood kids started coming on Sunday night. You know, one would come, and then a couple Sundays later, like two were there, and a few Sundays later, three, but you never knew if they were going to come or not. And then all of a sudden in January, 3 months ago, they started coming, you know, five of them, six of them, 10 of them, kids who had never even come to kids' Bible club last year because they were on their summer break and didn't have anything to do. And praise the Lord, their parents let them come. We've never even met the parents of most of these, and they all live within two or three blocks from us. We're just in a normal neighborhood where poor middle-class people live, and the parents don't mind letting their kids just kind of loose on the streets. This is different than any of the other ministries we've been involved in Rio Grande do Sul. And so that's been wonderful. And the Sunday before we came to the States, we were going to travel on Tuesday. That last Sunday, we still didn't have anyone to take over the kids' class because I'm the teacher. We just weren't going to have kids' classes during Sundays while we were gone.
Clarissa and...
And then this couple from a church in New Hamburg, it's a well-established church that missionaries started like 40 years ago. It's like half hour away. Cassio and Clarissa were visiting us that Sunday night, and Fabio said, look at all the kids coming. You know, just pray because we don't have anyone to take over the kids' class. And they said, we'll do it. And so they're going but just makes me almost tear up because, you know, God just provided that last minute before we traveled. And so they're going every Sunday night and teaching the kids there. This is just a few of the kids. And some great news, last Sunday night, Cassie sent in our church WhatsApp group. They sent the news that these two boys got saved last Sunday. And so they're both results of our kids' Bible club that we had last year. And they came, and then they started coming on Sunday nights. And Cassio said over the past several weeks, they were just asking really good questions. And he said, I didn't want to make it easy for them. I didn't want to, you know, just give them a prayer to repeat. But he said they were just anxious. They just had to trust Jesus because they were afraid of what was going to happen if they didn't. And one of them said, what if Jesus comes back and I haven't trusted him as my Savior yet? And so you can see that they were really understanding. And Cassio was still sending messages in the church group. It was almost midnight in Brazil, but Fabio said, can I call you? And we talked to him, and he was so excited. He said, I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. it might be the first people that they've ever led to Christ before. And that's just really exciting. And he started crying, and he shared a verse, 1 Corinthians 3, that we've been sharing this verse when we visit churches where I planted, you know, Apollos watered. Anyway, some planted, some watered, but God's the one who gives the increase. And he says, you could just see the boys would talk about stories that they heard last year in kids' club, and they would remember something they heard months ago, and you could just see everything coming together, and they understood. So that's just really exciting news. So pray for Michelle and Brian and their families who are not believers. Michelle just lives with his dad, broken home, and we're just so excited about that. So rejoice with us for this news.
We pray for God opening doors for their family.
Their families.
About the gospel. Mm-hmm. In Rio Grande do Sul, it's so hard. You talk about Jesus because people are so close. We are surprised when 1 year ago we start the Bible club. And because, quando as pessoas, quando a gente abriu, o pessoal não vinha, ninguém vem, porque...
Yeah, in other ministries, in children's ministries, they just never really got off because parents had to bring their kids to church and they weren't willing to drive, you know, so children's and youth ministries really only got off if the missionary or the pastor would go around and pick up everyone. And in this case, because everyone lives right there close around our home, they're coming. So isn't that
wonderful.
Neat?
Yeah. So, disciple the believers.
Mm-hmm. So these are two gals in our work, Magda and Magali, who I was able to do study with last year. And Fabio was able to do discipleship studies with two believers in our church, Carlos and Thomas, because it's a metropolitan area, work schedules, they commute really far, they don't get home till like 8 o'clock at night. He did that online with them. And they're both growing. Thomas is the one who plays guitar, leads our services, and he's preaching on and off now while we're gone. And this is a couple, Will and Sabrina. Sabrina got saved in the first church that we planted, Campo Bom, about 10 years ago now. And so that was just really exciting. Pastor mentioned in his message today about doing premarital counseling. That's something that as a pastor you do. And maybe similar to here in the States, the family situation in Brazil is just very, very bad. A lot of broken homes. A lot of people don't even get married anymore. People don't want to have kids. They just don't want to build a family. They don't know what biblical roles are for men and women. And so those are things that we're very happy to teach them. And premarital counseling is a great place to do that. So we're thrilled with this couple, Will and Sabrina. And every time, you know, we're in contact with them, and they're like, we just appreciate so much what we learned with you guys during that time. So that's encouraging. And also discipleship, we do teacher training to train people to work with kids. So we were blessed to do this last year. We've done it several other times when different churches call us. But we did this one because we were doing the kids club and we wanted, you know, people in our work to step up and be able to help more. And so we ended up, we wanted it, another church that we had planted wanted it, and we ended up getting people from four area churches. And so that was just really exciting to meet with them over like three different Saturdays, like a module, and deal with kids ministry. So it's something that I love teaching kids, and I love training people to teach kids. And so part of evangelizing the lost, like we mentioned, this kids Bible club that we were blessed to start last year, just one Saturday a month. So here we are meeting in our garage. You can just see some pictures there. Fabio plays guitar. We teach him songs. I teach the Bible story. We teach him a memory verse. And there was the story of David and Goliath, made a life-size Goliath. And we do games in our yard. And we were just praise the Lord for the 20-something kids, about 30 kids total that we had contact with through this ministry. And so like as you can see, all these pictures here are taking place in our garage, which is open on two sides. So in the summer, that works when it's warm enough. Give them a snack at the end. Are there any pictures here of it in our living room? Okay. So we do get cold there in South Brazil. Yeah. We do get cold there in South Brazil. And so when it's cold or raining, we have to meet inside our home. So we did Kids Bible Club in our living room several times and game time as well. Go ahead, keep going. Yeah. Maybe we don't have any pictures of that. Penelope, the little girl holding that like Bible there, she made a decision for Christ in October. She's one of our little neighbor girls. The neighbors have five girls. Four of them came to our Bible clubs. And she made a decision. She was really understanding. But I just pray that the parents would get saved, because like she hasn't come to services. And so there needs to be discipleship happening there. We want to make sure that this is real. And but that was something really exciting for us, too.
And Michelle believed you.
Yeah, and Michelle, who's holding the Bible there, he's one of the ones who just got saved last week. So just praise the Lord for this. The Bible Club has stopped while we're here in the States, and we're going to start it up again in August after we get back. And we need more people to help us. If any of you want to move down to Brazil and help us with that, we only have it one Saturday a month because, to be honest, that's all that we can handle with the Sunday services already happening in our home. And we homeschool. A lot of times Fabio preaches in other area churches. He pulpit supplies in Sunday morning for churches that don't have pastors. It's like one Saturday a month is all that we can handle. But we would love to increase it to like every other Saturday if we had more people there helping us. You want to come down and learn Portuguese? Or so... another evangelistic outreach we have is Logos Jogos. It's a game night that we have one Saturday a month. With our target is university students, but it's open to anyone. So we end up getting, you know, families. Sometimes they bring parents and stuff. And so this also happens in our home. And we have a special ministry outreach to university students. There's Erin is sitting there. She's in the blue shirt. Okay, she's a single missionary. And she runs a cafe called The Hangout that's right across the street from the large university. And the students can go there and get free coffee and tea, free Wi-Fi, and they can buy things like cookies, brownies, homemade pizza, peanut butter. Wednesday's peanut butter and jelly sandwich day at the Hangout, so that's something that Brazilians don't eat, but Erin takes down American peanut butter, and that's something special they can buy, and she sells everything at minimal cost. And so that's just a place for us to go and get to know the university students, build relationships with them, and then we invite them to game night at our house, and we play board games, and they just see us and see a family working, and they, it's so different from anything that they've experienced. Again, most of them from broken homes. They're just not used to seeing a functional family. And so this is just a great opportunity for us to get to know them. And possibly similar to here in the States, young people these days, university students, most of them are so far from the Lord in so many different ways. We get all sorts from all different backgrounds, and they're a tough group to work with. And so we play board games, and then we stop and have pizza. And Fabio, while everyone is eating, so their mouths are full, he shares the gospel. So 5 to 10 minutes, you know, share a Bible verse, share some thoughts from the scripture, and we get to know them better, invite them to do a Bible study with us or to come to Sunday services. And so we have had fruit from this ministry. So just pray for these university students again. So many of them are so far from the Lord. And we just look and we say, salvation is a miracle. I don't know how they'll ever get saved, but that's our prayer.
Boa parte das pessoas aí nunca iriam para uma igreja.
Yes, most of these young people, they would never go to a church service. They would not accept an invitation to a church service. But they'll come to a game night in your home. Mm-hmm. So just a few more pictures here of neighbors, personal contacts, and some Bible studies that we've done. So where it says pray for salvation, this is the couple who are our neighbors, Daniel and Grazi. They're Catholic, but not practicing. And the girl that I'm with in the picture below is one of the girls, her daughters. None of them are his. So again, broken family situation. And Dominique, she came to our Bible clubs for a few months, and then she turned 13, felt she was too old for Bible club, but she loves English and wants to learn English. So I said, you want English classes? Yeah. So it was just a contact. Anything that for us to have contact with them. And teaching English turns into spiritual conversations and finding out about her life. She's in 7th grade in the public school, and you just wouldn't believe what these kids see. It's really terrible. And again, you just think, if you don't get them when they're young, you're going to lose them. For them to get saved after the years of junk that they're getting in the world is going to be much harder. So try to get them when they're still young and more open to spiritual things. On the other side, there are two university students that we've ministered to. On the top, there is Charles. You can see him holding the chimarrón there. He's a real gaúcho from the interior. And Charles, he follows an Eastern religious sect. It's a spinoff of Buddhism called Mahikari that believes in many messiahs. And he was very open to doing a study with us. He started coming because of the Hangout and because of game nights. And we were able to do a wonderful 3-month studies with him, and he started coming to our services too. And he said, this is the first time I've heard what the Bible really says. And he had attended Prosperity Gospel churches before, but he didn't know the basic things. And he said, this is the first time I'm really understanding the Bible. So that was exciting.
We invited him for a study on Wednesday night all week. And we study every week. Mm-hmm. We study, what's the name of the book?
We went through a book called More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell, yes. Which is kind of apologetic, you know, presenting Jesus as the only Messiah and the veracity of the Bible. So that was really good with him. And below there is a George who's been coming to our services for 5 years. And he's a spiritist. Spiritism, how do I describe spiritism? There's two different sides. There's the lower spiritism, which is like African religions, which is like, you know, kill the chicken, like demon possession and all that, which we have a lot of in Brazil. Our state is one of the states with the most of that. And George follows the spiritism, which was established by some French guy named Alain Kardec back in the 1800s, but it also has the whole receive the spirit of people who have died in the past and all that. And George comes. He is more faithful than the believers. He doesn't miss a Sunday, and he's come 5 years. And people just don't believe it when we tell them that we've got someone who's been coming for 5 years and he hasn't gotten saved yet. They're like, they kind of look at us like, are you really sharing the gospel? And it's like, yes, we are. He knows the Bible. And you ask him, George, what's lacking? And he says, more data, more facts. So just pray.
When I preaching, he said, I don't believe the Jews. Why the Jews don't believe in Christ? You know? Yeah, we do.
We're the same way, George.
We're same.
Yeah.
But he don't understand. Yeah. He said, falta dados.
Yeah, lacking data. So two university students, very intelligent guys, but lack that spiritual understanding. So pray for these people. That's just a few examples of the many people we've had contact with. And Camille here is one of those success stories, yes. Someone who got saved, and she's a result of the work with the Hangout and game nights and all that. So if we could, we have a little three-minute video here of Camille giving her testimony. To a few services last year and to a few game nights. Her brother didn't want anything to know about God, and he's come to two or three of our game nights so far, so pray for them. And she did the training also to work with kids and is involved in that now. So praise the Lord. some people do trust Christ as their Savior. And so we have a picture here. Camille got saved January of 2020. She was going to be baptized, and then the pandemic hit, so she was only baptized a whole year later. But here at Camille's baptism, okay, during this time, the pandemic started. Camille moved to another city, like 35 minutes away from us. And we were so sad because you work so hard and so long for somebody to get saved, and then they move away. You're like, they're not going to be a part of our church. But the city she moved to, Sapiranga, is one of the cities that we had worked in back when we were first married. We had held Bible studies there first every 2 weeks and then weekly. And then we had turned that work over to colleagues of ours, and it's a church. And so we were able to plug her in with them there in Sapiranga. Like, they already have a building. They've just grown. And we were really very excited about that because we felt that she would even be better discipled there in their church midst than she would be with us. So that was exciting. But when she was baptized, then it was a baptism of the Sapiranga church, but they invited us because she had been saved with us. And Neoza, the gal that you see there holding the towel, after the baptism, she came up and she talked to Fabio, and she said, and we remembered her from the days that we had been working, you know, in the Kampubon church and the Sapiranga church. And she said, Pastor Fabio, do you remember the Bible studies that you used to do at Milton Liani's house in Sapiranga? I think we've got a picture of them here. This couple, Milton Liani. So for 2 years, the Bible studies were in their home. That was like the very beginning there when we were first married. She said, you remember the Bible studies you used to do there? And Fabio said, yeah, of course. And she said, do you remember the night I got saved? And Fabio said, yeah, I do. And it was really weird because it was the first Bible study she'd ever gone to. And when he was done, she said, yeah, I want that. And he really didn't think that she had understood, because no gaushos get saved the first time that they come to church or the first time they hear the gospel.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, yeah. So he explained to her again, and she's like, yeah, yeah, I want that. And he's like, okay, well, you know, maybe she didn't really understand, but, you know, she'll keep coming later, she'll understand. Well, she kept coming, and we would give her, you know, she would get to church, and we would give her rides back home. We remembered her. And then we had turned that ministry over to colleagues, and it became a church. And so she said, Pastor Fabu, you remember that night I got saved? She said, that day, I was going to take my life. And I had gotten everything ready for it. I had visited my mom. I had visited my siblings, my kids for the last time. I had made a sign to hang in the window explaining why I was doing this. And then that afternoon, my friend Benta called me and invited me to go to a Bible study. And I said no. And she insisted and invited me again, and I still said no. And then I got to thinking that I should go because poor Benta with those three little boys, and I should go along to help Benta with the boys. So I'll go along just to help Benta with the boys. And she said, I went and you were preaching the book of John, and it was exactly what I needed, and I got saved. And I was going to take my life that day, but God saved me instead. And we had remembered her getting saved, but we didn't know that backside of the story, that she was going to take her life that day. And you just don't know how something as simple as like opening your home for a Bible study can change someone's life. And just to give you, go ahead and click to the next picture. Okay, so Bantha's oldest son, Leo, so this is back when I was teaching the kids there. Leo was like 12 at the time. I taught him for maybe one semester, 1 year. Their family moved to the state north of us, to a city where there is no church. And missionaries up there, not even from our mission board, from a different mission board, went like once a month to do Bible studies in their city. They continued faithful, Leo's mom and him and his brother and sisters. He's like 20 now. He moved back to our area to do Bible college now because he wants to become a pastor. Again, you just don't know how even like a kid that you have in Sunday school, what they can become someday. And he was part of the training that we did last year too, the training to work with kids. So that's just really exciting. Again, you don't know how you serving God in whatever, with whatever gifts that God has given you, what God's going to do with that. So go back to the picture there, the picture of the Bible studies, Volta para Milton Liani. And so, again, like, we were there, Fabio's the one who preached the night that Neuza got saved, but think of Milton Liani, who opened their home faithfully for 2 years, made the coffee, prepared the shimajon to go around, often, you know, prepared a snack to give to people,
invited people,
the other believers from that city who came faithfully, you know, who took care of the music and stuff? What about Benta, who insisted with her friend Nelsa that she go to the Bible study? And so it takes a village. It takes a community. It's not just because of one person that someone is going to get saved. It takes everybody doing their part, whether that's inviting, whether that's giving a ride, whether that's the person giving the study, whether it's putting a post on your social media that sharing a Bible verse, okay? Whatever God has given you to serve with, serve Him with that, because it takes everyone doing their part in the church. Yeah. So we're really excited with Nelsa. Yeah, so we invited Nelsa to come to our game night that we had in January to share her testimony with the folks there during that little, you know, pause. So instead of a message, it was a living message there, a gal who had gotten saved, so that was neat. So we just wanted to share this this text with you.
Queremos fazer vocês pensarem sobre esse assunto.
Yeah, to just think about what I shared, all those different people doing their part. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. And so again, it's not about who got saved with who was it that preached, or whose church are they going to be a part of afterwards? Who cares? They got saved, you know. So,
o plano de Deus é usar cada de nós para que na história da redenção pessoas venham a crer.
Yeah. God's plan is to use each of us doing our part to bring people to Christ so that they will believe. Yeah.
Every people here is important, you know. If you do your work, o que Deus está te chamando,
yeah, whatever
calling,
God gives you to do, do,
you know,
it.
Testemunho, como é que fala?
Witness.
Witness. If you do witness, God use for change people, change lives, change families. When you working here, when you send missionaries, when you go to for help missionaries, or maybe you go para ser missionário,
to be a missionary,
God use you. And I say in the morning, I say today, tonight, thank you, because God use you. But you need continue here and another place, you know.
So just the last thing we want to share is a project that we have, a construction project. So like you saw, the meetings have been in our home for the last almost 3 years, and we're kind of running out of space. This is a problem we want to have. And it has been a challenge. You know, we homeschool our kids, and so the meetings in our home on a weekly basis is a challenge. And the kids for the Bible Club, we meet in the garage. It's open on both sides, so that only works during the summer, and when it's raining or when it's cold, then we have to meet in our living room. So there we are, meeting in our living room. And even game time is in our living room. So that's a challenge. And so we have a project to remodel our garage. I think we've got some pictures here. So there's our garage. You can see it open. And so that's what it is right now. We would make it bigger, take it all the way out to the back wall. It would end up fitting about 60 people, add a bathroom on it. So why are we thinking this way instead of renting? We don't have money to rent. We don't have enough believers in our work contributing financially for us to afford a rental place. And this way, we would have more visibility. So we have two needs right now, more space and more visibility. And so we can't just leave our gate open for people to come in off the street. That's dangerous. But in our garage, that's kind of separate from the house, we would be able to leave the garage gate open. And it would fit more people. We could put a sign out on the street so that people would know that a church is meeting there. And so we feel that this is an important step for us to become more known in the neighborhood. And it would take care of our problem of, you know, kids' club in our living room also, and the services, they could be held there. And then we could, like, just take the kids' classroom into the living room on a Sunday night. So this is a plan that we would like to do. winter's already coming up. Now we're not going to get this done before this winter, so they're going to have to be meeting with the kids in an upstairs bedroom this winter, but possibly for next winter we could have it done. So the cost, if we just did the first floor, $23,000. If we were to do like a second, you know, like make it a big, an extra classroom and upstairs, that would be another cost. But we're just aiming for the base right now. We've already had some offerings come in, so just pray with us. We're not sure if the Lord wants us to do this or not. For us, we feel like it's a big step, but we would like to. So we feel if the Lord provides, we feel like this is the next big thing in our work for it to go forward. So thank you for allowing us to be here for the opportunity. I think we could take a few questions if anybody has some questions about us, Brazil, our ministry, anything we mentioned. Not Hannah, you're my daughter. Yes, hi, Teresa. Hannah. Okay, at about 78%. That's what it was last year. I think this year it might have been 80. So, yeah. We'll be here until July 9th. We've got like another six or seven churches to visit. Yeah. Anyone else? Yes. That's true. Because Fabio went as a single missionary in Brazil, he raised his support among Brazilian churches back in 2007, 2008. And then after we got married, I thought I had, like, done the figures before, but we got married and I was redoing it. I'm like, hon, we shouldn't have gotten married. So the Lord opened the doors after we'd been married for like a year. We came to the States and visited a few churches, and so the Lord gave us a couple. We've got 5 supporting churches here in the States. So we're about even in the amount of support we get stateside and the amount of support we get in Brazil. Yeah, so that's we're an interesting situation. Our mission board is always like, we're not sure, we've never seen that before. But it works, praise the Lord. So, yeah. A gente consegue fazer algum trabalho nas prisões, com prisioneiros?
Nós nunca fizemos. Ah, nós conhecemos colega que faz esse trabalho em Porto Alegre, que é onde tem prisão.
Okay. We know a pastor who does that kind of work in Porto Alegre, in the capital, but we personally have not been involved in that. And also in the big city, São Paulo, there is like a specific mission in Brazil that there are pastors that get involved with that. So yes, that does happen in Brazil, praise the Lord.
Mas se Deus abrir a porta, nós vamos.
Yeah, if we find out about like a, I don't think there's a prison like right in our area, but that is an open door in Brazil. Yeah, I saw a kid raise his hand, Gabriel. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't hear you. The most popular state in Brazil, o estado mais popular do Brasil.
Aqui tem mais gente. Popular ou...
Oh, the most populous or the most popular, like, to go to? Yeah. Our state, Rio Grande do Sul, is the most popular. No. The most populous would be São Paulo. But, yes, the city of Gramado in our state is the largest tourist destination in Brazil because of that European culture. Everybody wants to see Europe in Brazil. It's a lot cheaper to fly within Brazil than to fly to Europe. So, But people love the beaches in northeast Brazil. So, like, everyone who lives in our state, they fly up to northeast to get the beautiful beaches. Yeah. So it depends on what you want to see. Okay. Se tem algum ministério no campus?
Dentro do campus?
In the campus, we met a missionary one time from the Southern Baptist Convention, and I think he tries to do something on campus, but I'm not sure exactly what. But he basically told us, he's like, what you guys do at the hangout, I try to do on campus. We met him once, so there is some small effort there. Yeah, it's right across the street. Yeah, yes. Okay, it depends on who the school director is. So in New Hamburg, There's a gal, Joselani, she actually went to Bible college with Fabio, and she's the reason that he's in Rio Grande do Sul. She told him, she was the only gaúcha in Bible college, and she kept telling him about her state and the needs. And so Joselani has done this for years. Like once a week, she's allowed to teach a Bible class to the kids in that school. But like the school director changed, and so she wasn't allowed to this year. So it'll depend on where you are. We've heard of missionaries in other areas. That's huge. That's a huge part of their ministry. Traditionally, for many years, religion class was part of the curriculum of children in all public schools, and anybody was able to teach that. And so in some schools, it would be a nun or a priest. And then, like, because of the Bible college where my parents work up in Northeast Brazil, all the schools in the area would ask for Bible college students to teach the religion classes. And so that was a huge opportunity up there. Religion class kind of fell out. It's not part of the curriculum anymore. Or if it is, it's not a required class for the kids. They go if they want. But that would be wonderful if we were able to do that. I kind of feel drained and like pulled too thin in many areas to really try to go after that in the school system. Again, come down to work with us because we need help. Oftentimes there are opportunities in the public school. If you go and offer something like that, many school directors are open to that. And Brazil is changing its school. School is only half day there. So kids either study only in the morning or only in the afternoon. It's like only 4 hours. But they're starting to change that this year to like a full day. And so they're going to have to offer a lot more extracurricular activities. That would be interesting to look into. Yeah. There are. There's a normal building codes. We already went after that. Sobre a construção, se tem coisa da cidade. We already got the project approved last year at the prefeitura. What's that called? City hall,
tudo.
Whatever. Yeah.
Nós já buscamos a prefeitura.
Yes.
Fizemos tudo.
Yeah. So we already paid. We've already got the permission and the plant drawn up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? No, Hannah. You can ask me later.
Okay. Ask Hannah.
She doesn't know what she wants to ask. Okay. Anyway, thank you all so much for receiving
once.
How did you get saved? Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Uma pergunta que ela Como fez. Você foi salvo? Como você se converteu?
Oh, when I was 7 years old, my family going to one church in Santos.
São Paulo.
Santos, a little city, border São Paulo, from São Paulo. And the pastor said, if you understand, you want to show for church because you believe it, you come in. And I stand up and come into the front. It's a big church. I don't know how I got up there.
It says, I don't know how I got up there, but I was up there.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm so happy. God saved me.
Yeah.
Thank you for
I was saved when I was, about the time I turned 6 years old. So I've been saved for 30 years now. And it's the best thing you can do with your life. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, trust Him as your Savior. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you, Hannah.